Art mentioned Bruce Metzger. Dr. Metzger was a member of the congregation, the first congregation I served after seminary. And so you can imagine what it was like to preach, knowing that someone out there knows the Bible so much better than you do. But he was a wonderful man and wonderful spirit. The Reverend Dr. William Mackay Taylor was arguably the most liberal voice in our congregation, and we will miss him dearly. Mac's health hasn't allowed him to be in worship for some time, but about a month before he died, Mac and I had a wonderful visit and spoke about politics, culture, the church, and of course, Princeton. I always enjoyed visiting with Mac, as I never had to watch what I was saying. Most of you know I lean a little right on theological issues. I believe God is the Lord and giver of life. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring new life. Where I confuse people is on social issues. There, I lean a little left. On these issues, where there is room for people of good faith to disagree, I believe we should err on the side of grace. So in visiting with Mac, I knew I could poke the bear on theological issues, and he would do so in return. But I could speak freely on social or political issues because I could never say anything so liberal Mac would be offended. The ability to speak freely is a precious gift, especially for pastors. Now, this may come as a surprise to some of you. Pastors get 15 to 20 minutes a week to say anything we want to a captive audience. Who else gets such an opportunity? But the truth is, the sermon is the last place a pastor can speak freely. We're called to discern and share God's word with you, not simply our thoughts and opinions about life. So we have to be careful not to let our words get in the way of God's word. We also have to take care in navigating the uncertain waters of your theological, social, and political perspectives. Even something so clear and simple as Jesus is Lord may be heard and understood quite differently depending on where you lean on the theological, social, or political spectrums. So yes, I could get up here on Sunday morning and say anything I want, and some pastors do. But if I want to be heard, or better, if I have any hope of God's word being heard, I have to be careful, even guarded, about what I say. Or do I? I've been thinking about this question a little more since Mac died. Mac served one church throughout his ministry, a church he started, Northminster Presbyterian Church in Troy, Michigan. Much of his ministry occurred during the 60s and 70s, a chaotic time in our country. I'm told Mac preached with conviction on countless social issues. For Mac, as for many of his colleagues, the pulpit became a platform for social justice. Civil rights, busing, Vietnam, and issues facing Detroit were among many cultural challenges Mac had to confront. His convictions were steadfast and controversial. He could be provocative, even intimidating. He liked to poke the bear and accepted the consequences. Some people left his congregation because of his preaching. Others stayed and became stronger Christians. because of his preaching. An inclusive, welcoming congregation committed to social justice, the church still bears the marks of Mack's preaching. Now, don't let my long hair and beard scare you. I'm not trying to bring back the 70s. As most of you have already figured out, I'm in another play this summer, so this will all be gone by fall. Thank you, Margaret. But we are living in a time where some of the social issues we thought we had addressed are back. Civil rights, racial justice, gender equality. Some of my colleagues in other churches are becoming much more vocal, even strident on political and social issues. They speak with conviction and accept the consequences. As a preacher, I'm not sure what all of this means for me. There's a place for care and caution when entering the pulpit. Humility cannot be taken lightly. My words are not God's word. Nevertheless, there comes a time when we must choose Christ over caution, laying down our lives is the only way we can live. Our reading from Matthew takes place early in Jesus' ministry. Having been called from their families, homes, and jobs, the disciples receive instructions for their ministry. They are to go to those on the fringe of life, proclaiming the good news of God's new creation. They are to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons, bringing good news to the poor. They are to rely on the providence of God and the hospitality of friends for their welfare. As he sends them out, Jesus cautions his disciples to be careful. Why? What is the danger? They're going into the world to give people hope, to assure them of God's love, to heal their diseases, to make them human again. Where is the danger? The danger comes in choosing Christ over Caesar. To choose Jesus and the new way of life he offers, a life of peace, justice, and the sanctity of all life. To choose Jesus is to choose against those whose power was vested in the power of Rome. The disciples were going out like sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus warns his disciples, but offers a word of consolation as well. Be careful, he said, but do not be afraid. Yes, they'll face some of the same troubles Christ faced. A disciple is not above his teacher. But a new day is coming when the light will shine and the world will see Christ's glory. On that day, their faith and service will be rewarded. Friends, Caesar, in all his many manifestations, is not to be feared. Caesar can only take our life. The one to be feared is the one who can consume our soul. Even then, we need not be afraid. God is with us. Bringing healing and hope to a hurting world, we put our lives at risk. We fight the powers of death and destruction. We fight the evil one. But the one we serve The one on whose behalf we fight is the Lord of life, the living God, who raises the dead and cares even for the sparrows. Our reading ends with Jesus proclaiming he has come to bring not peace, but a sword, and will create division even among families. Harsh words for a culture that idolizes the family and is just starting to accept the harm of helicopter parents and participation awards. But Jesus is paraphrasing the prophet Micah here. And what he says makes sense. In Jesus' preaching and teaching, he makes bold proclamations about God and the new world God is creating. Those people that you despise, God loves them. The wretched ones, they hold a special place in God's heart. Those boundaries you created, the walls you built, they need to come down. The power and privilege and prosperity you thought you earned and were entitled to, it's time to share what God has given you. Those swords, they need to become plowshares. Such bold proclamations challenge the powers of Jesus' day and our own. People still have to choose the way of the world or the way of God, Christ or culture, fear or love. In some cases, even families will be divided. There will be consequences. But choosing Christ is the only way to live. God is calling us to change. God is calling us to go deeper in our love for God, for family and friends, for one another, for neighbors and strangers on the street, even for our enemies. God is calling us to change. God is calling us to go deeper. Because God knows what we don't. This love, the love of God and neighbor, is the only way to live. Friends, for too long, we have made following Christ, we have made discipleship easy, something we can do in our spare time. Can't get to Bible study? That's all right. God loves you. No time to pray? Not a problem. God's listening. Better things to do than worship? Don't worry about it. God will be here. Beloved, those are lies. And if I've had a hand in perpetuating them, I'm sorry. The Church of Jesus Christ and congregations such as ours The Church of Jesus Christ has something to offer you the world cannot give. The life of Christ. We can offer a life without shame or guilt, fear or hate. We can offer the gift of forgiveness. We can offer a heart for justice and the power to make peace, even in your families. We can offer the desire to give up stuff and give yourself to people. We can offer the ability to make friends with people who have no friends. We can offer the strength to stand strong in the face of temptation or to defend those who cannot defend themselves. We can offer the capacity to love God with all that you are and trust God loves you more than you can know. Beloved, there are no life hacks, no shortcuts for faith. This life we offer is a different life, a more demanding life, a more rewarding life, a more meaningful life than the life the world offers. There are costs and sacrifices. This life does not come cheap. But this life is freely given to all who choose Christ. Thanks be to God.